Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me still in quarantine is Jenny Hayes. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
How does it feel being a part of a golf podcast?
It feels kind of cool, I guess. I mean,
did you ever dream you'd be a golf podcaster?
No. I also do not see myself as an expert golfer. I am definitely a novice.
I think people like that perspective that you're bringing to the podcast.
Well, I just want to be clear.
It's not just me and Jansen, you know, talking in circles all day.
I mean, I'm still working on my swing just as much as the next average Joe.
What are you working on your swing right now?
Specifically bringing the club straight back because I tend to cut it inside. Is that what I do?
Sort of.
Sometimes I don't even have words for what I'm doing.
Bring it too far inside. So your path gets pushed too far inside to out, which causes chunks.
Yeah. So I'm trying to just bring the club straight back and, also to keep my head down, you know? I know that's something, okay, you're making a face at me like, don't you know that by now? But no, it's something I tell myself pretty much every swing. Keep your head down. Don't look up. Because if I do, my shot is not going to be good.
Well, actually, at the golf practice, we don't ever tell anyone to keep their head down.
Well, when I was starting out, though, don't you remember?
No.
I would bring my head up too soon, like I wanted to see the ball. Mm. And so I wouldn't get through my swing.
Got it. So, yeah, that could be a thing. Yeah, you do. You have a very positive angle of attack, even with irons. So maybe the head down could be a helpful thought. Usually when people keep their head down, they don't, like, rotate or anything. It's keeping your head down is a very, it makes people stay, like, tense and still.
Too rigid.
Yeah, too rigid.
I also realized just the other day I'm not very flexible because you had me trying to do 90 degrees back. My backswing. Yeah. Man, that stuff, that hurts too. Yeah. It's not natural for me, so.
Get you in a mobility program and you'll be ready to go by summer.
Coach Jansen, if you're out there, I need some mobility.
Okay, this is our third episode on mindset, and this is going to be a little bit shorter one, but I wanted to put it out there because I want to give people some time to kind of chew on this and digest and come to their own answer for this question. The question is, why do you play golf? I think there's two types of people who play golf. There's those who play for fun, and then there's those who play to compete. And neither one of those is better than others, but they kind of have their own pitfalls, their own like mental hangups when it comes to getting better at golf. Or I guess this could be kind of really applied to anything else. Players who play for fun, they usually like play pretty good because they're not so worried about things, right? They're not playing for a score. They're not playing for all these things. And this could be even competitive golfers who play for fun as well. But the problem is that because they're there just for fun, they have no work ethic, right? They don't practice that much. They don't care to get better at things. They don't have kind of the discipline that it would take to really get better at what their weaknesses are. On the other hand, there's people who play golf because they want to compete, and these people kind of have a difficult time freeing themselves up. They are too worried or too scared about what the outcome could be because they're like, I've worked so hard. This is what I have put all this time and effort into. It's to shoot a good score. It's to make the team. It's to get a scholarship, whatever it is. And so whenever those things stop happening, they actually, get more nervous and more nervous, which is kind of what we were talking about with the ego last time.
Yeah. It's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah. And so are you able to relate to either of those?
Well, I am definitely a play for fun, casual type player. My favorite rounds of golf have been in Scotland, just specifically for the scenery and the walk, even more so than the golf. But, I mean, the golf is fun, too.
You've actually gotten a little more into practice in this season.
Yeah. I mean, I made it to the golf practice a couple of times, but I'm still really, you know, I have a terrible memory. If it comes right down to it, I can't remember all the advice if I'm not practicing often enough. And so I just like lose my swing somehow because I forget how to do it. So I think for me,
it happens to all of us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Like Tiger Woods practices a lot. He practices more than you.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed just in the past few days, I had a practice session with you, went and played a round, way better, played another round, even better. So, I mean, I've definitely seen that practice can help, but I'm still kind of like out there for fun. My mindset is light.
But there's still something there that makes you want to get better.
Yeah. I mean, when I hit a good shot, it feels really good.
Yeah, it's more fun when you play better.
Yeah. And I mean, you take less shots, right? It's ideally. That's true.
And so the reason I bring this up is I'm wondering if people can think why, you know, which category that they fall into. Do you play for fun? Do you play for competition? Like you said, it's a catch 22. And I think actually we need a little bit of both.
What about a friendly competition?
Friendly competition. Sure. Well, I mean,
that's pretty fun.
It is fun. But we have people who are like playing Division I golf at high levels, Division III golf. They're competing in, you know, amateur and professional tournaments in the summer. So they're maybe wouldn't call it a friendly competition.
Okay, so that's what you mean by competition.
Yeah.
Not friendly.
Well.
More serious.
Well, for those people who are serious competitors, I think the growth area is, can you remind yourself some of the reasons that you love to play golf? Mm. I think even the people who can grind away at sitting at the driving range for 3 hours a day, I think those people actually, like, you have to really love golf to do that. And so I would say, like, you need to be aware and think about what are those aspects of golf that you actually really like in order to balance yourself out. Because if you don't think about what's fun about it for you, and it's actually really, really easy to lose track of these things. Mm-hmm. If you don't think about what's fun, then you kind of get too much into worrying about your score. You're worried about all these different things because you think, well, I put in all this time and all this effort, and when the outcomes... when the tournament wins don't happen, when you don't make the cut, you start to really get down on yourself and wonder what's wrong with you.
I feel like that is a narrative that I've heard from professional athletes, especially later in their careers, is they say, you know, I found my love for the game again. And, you know, they tend to have kind of the second wind, the second career that's, you know, just as good as the first.
I mean, you see with Tiger Woods, he didn't smile for the first 20 years of his career. Now yeah. He's out hugging guys.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think he's gotten a little bit of that perspective as well.
I would say Tom Brady could use a little more love for football.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's doing pretty good. I think he really likes football a lot.
He might have lost his love this last year. I'm a little worried.
We'll see. I think one of the main things that being too competitive, one of the things that can get in the way of that is that it keeps you from accepting any outcome, which I think is actually going to be the next podcast, acceptance and commitment. But it gets back to what we're talking about with ego of like, if you're not okay with losing a ball or losing a match or losing a tournament, then you're probably going to lose.
Mm-hmm. It's so counterintuitive, though. I think, to human nature, to be okay losing. It feels so good to win. The endorphins, you know?
It does. But would it be even interesting? Would anything be interesting if you won it every time?
No.
Like, we're our own worst enemy. If you actually won a golf tournament as often as you wanted to win a golf tournament, I don't think it would be that interesting to you.
You have to win, like, the right amount or, you know, have the right amount of success, I feel like, to still be hunting for more. You know, you have a taste of it, but you're still like, I can improve things and I can grow.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to win, you can play, like, Sudoku on level easy And you'll be able to win every single time.
It's true.
But no one wants to do that because they don't actually... That's actually not their reason for playing. And that's why I think this question is so good, because it forces you to like push even farther into it. When you ask people why do they play golf, their answers aren't that good. Because a lot of them, I mean, I guess this was kind of the answer you just gave. Some people, they're like, I just like being outside. It's like, well, do you go hiking? Do you go on walks other than playing golf? And they say no. And so they don't actually like playing golf that much. They say, it's a good game to play. I'm like, well, do you play any other games? And they say, no. So there's something about it that is deeper or bigger or more rewarding than I think people realize.
Yeah, I mean, it's a longer story, right? I mean, the career of any golfer can last your whole lifetime. It's not a sport you grow out of or something that you can't ever play unless you have a team. So I think... there's a lot more opportunity to grow and to play it along the way. I feel like, too, I just had this idea. When I make a putt, that in itself is like a little win. And that feels good and kind of feeds my next shot, you know? So I think there is something to be said about the good shots. And I think if you focus on them, they really do kind of carry you through the bad ones, too.
Yeah, there's something about a good shot in golf. It feels like nothing else, right? There's nothing that really lives up to that feeling. A good shot feels like five times better than a bad shot feels bad.
Yeah,
I think, if that makes sense. And so I would encourage everyone to think about this and see what their answer is. I once tried to answer this, and I ended up writing it down, and it took me like 3 pages of notes, so I think I need to go back and come to a better understanding of why golf.
How could it possibly have taken that long?
Well, because for me, golf's very, there's a lot to it. Like, it's part of my job. And so I like learning it as a way to like help other people. I also think it like shows you a lot about like what it means to be human and how to deal with things. Like something about like the question, I mean, that people are thinking about, you read about it today, of like with the virus, and everyone's like, what do we do when something's going wrong? Like, how do you respond to that? Big questions like that, that are like really asking what it means to be human, we don't really face these situations in the world very often, mm-hmm. right? It's not very often throughout your day-to-day life in America that you have to answer the question, like what do I do now, right? But something about golf, like whenever you play golf or whether you're learning golf or practicing golf, you're forced to ask that question like over and over and over and over again. And I know it's a smaller scale in a different setting, but something about it being like a practical way for you to kind of practice these things and to learn about them, I think is really fascinating to me.
You're also one of the most thoughtful people that I've ever met.
Well, thank you.
So I feel like that makes a difference.
Well, thank you. That's a great way. I think we'll just end the podcast with that. I didn't pay you to say that, did I?
No, that's actually a true fact.
A true fact. Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes.